Welcome to episode 373 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm your host and producer, Josh Pollard.
And I'm your host, Richard Gunther, and this is the show where we talk about Microsoft Entertainment Technology, including audio, video, gaming, and more across all Windows platforms. And I join you this week from Atlanta.
Yay, more hotel Wi-Fi to deal with.
Yeah, and, you know, hopefully we'll get through this without too many difficulties. And if we don't, you know what I know is going to happen? I know that our expert producer is going to make it appear seamless.
Wait, when did we get an expert producer? I thought it was just me.
That's what I mean.
Right. Sure. So let's just get on with the show, I suppose. No guest this week. It was great having James on last week, but no guest this week. Back to just Richard and I. But fortunately, it's not just you and I. We get to bring the listener in this week. We've got an email message from Mart. He says, I'm still enjoying the show here in Lancashire, England. Is that how you would pronounce that? It's English, and I still can't pronounce it.
I'm thinking Lancashire.
Lancashire? Sure. Just like jam it all together really quickly. Okay. he says, I'm still using Media Center on two Windows 7 mini ITX boxes and still loving the Rolls-Royce interface. It is pretty nice. Still, after all these years, it's still pretty nice. He says, I just got an Xbox One and I am impressed with the interface. I got the Forza Edition Xbox, which is a nice blue hue. It's pretty. He says, I feel at the moment there's a gap in the market for something along the lines of a box that can run a Media Center type service since Microsoft no longer has any interest in it. I don't think that DVR and added functionality will ever be featured in the game consoles. What do you think? I suspect that only an open source solution can do it. Keep the shows coming. From Mart.
Mart, let's all go out and get a drink and talk over this one.
If we knew the answer to this, we probably wouldn't have our normal day jobs. <You know>? We'd be making a lot of money elsewhere. You know, from the Microsoft perspective, it's certainly difficult to be optimistic right now about this type of functionality. You know, I was just reading today a piece from fellow countrymen of yours, Mart. That would be Tom Warren over at The Verge, wrote a pretty interesting piece on how when he bought the Xbox One, he thought this was going to be the ultimate cord cutters box. And it just isn't really shaping out that way. You know, like we talked about last week, the DVR functionality is no longer most likely coming to the Xbox One. And I say most likely because Microsoft has said it's on hold, but I'm 100% convinced it's never coming to the Xbox One. If they didn't do it this year, they're not going to do it. You know, so we see that. We see the Kinect functionality kind of getting worse currently, with at least it in the preview version of the OS, with the way Cortana is working on the Xbox One. A huge decrease in focus of the Kinect at all. Obviously, over a year ago, they stopped bundling the Kinect on all versions of the Xbox One. Like, not all versions of it come with it anymore. And then with the Xbox One S, there isn't even a Kinect port. And then we've got some even more sad news around Kinect-based things to report on later in the show. So yeah, it doesn't really feel great as a Microsoft guy looking for a fantastic, you know, all-in-one media solution for your living room right now. But the Xbox One still has a lot going for it. I mean, you still do have the over-the-air tuner. You just can't record. And there's still a lot of great apps. You know, you've still got Netflix, Amazon Prime, Sling TV, you know, Hulu, you know, most of the other big name, like network-based apps and stuff are all still there. So there's still a lot there to work with. It's just, it seems like the trend is going in the wrong direction with Xbox as a media device.
Well, and I would argue that even without those degraded expectations, continually degrading expectations, that back 6 months ago when we thought there was still a future for DVR capability. Marcus kind of went through the same exercise. He tried using this as a cord cutting solution and ultimately came to the conclusion that in its current state, didn't really fill that need well enough yet.
Yeah, and it kind of comes down to individual use cases, of course. You know, Marcus had issues with over the air. And then, of course, there's the lack of DVR functionality. And Sling TV is still not as good as one might hope that it would be. So I'm not sure that Sling TV, I haven't actually tried it myself, but from talking to a lot of people who have, it doesn't sound like a solution that would really fit for a lot of like multi-person households. So yeah, it's certainly not perfect, but for a lot of people, it might still do what it needs. But yeah, it's not really moving in the direction we'd like to see.
So one more thing before we leave this, and that's his comment about thinking that only an open source solution might be able to solve this. I hesitate on that one, and I don't really feel a high level of confidence that would do it. Honestly, I think the only real chance we had for a good follow-up to what we had in Media Center is if Media Center had been either sold or licensed to a third party of Microsoft's choice that would allow the product to live on in its current state. I think trying to recreate what we have as we have it is going to be an exercise in futility for anyone who tries.
Yeah, I mostly agree with you and unfortunately disagree with Mark. I don't think an open source solution is going to be able to do it, or at least isn't likely to do it. I would never say that it couldn't do it, but there are so many licensing things to work around in the media space to really provide what most people are looking for that most open source projects just don't have the resources to deal with. A great example, especially, and I know this is a US focused problem, but cable card. You know, if you want cable TV, which the vast majority of people still actually do, your only option is cable card. And if you have copy protected content via cable card, you have no options other than Media Center right now, and eventually the Silicon Dust HD Home Run DVR, which I think is really, you know, especially if you're looking for actual, you know, fairly open in what you can do with it, DVR functionality. The HD Home Run DVR is pretty much your only decent option as it looks. Like, we don't know. We haven't used it yet, but it's promising, and it doesn't seem like anybody else is trying to do what Silicon Dust is doing, and obviously Microsoft stopped doing it years ago. So I think that's probably about it, and unfortunately I don't think we're likely to see any sort of open source solution unless you're really only talking about over-the-air type solutions. All right, well, I don't think either of us expected one one email to go that long, but that was some good conversation.
It was good conversation. It's kind of a downer conversation, so let's turn things around and move into video. But first, before we do that, do we want to remind people that they can also leave us feedback or messages at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com or use the contact form on the website? Or we love hearing your voice. Send us a voice message as an audio attachment. So let's talk about what's going on in the video space. And this week, our video story is about Roku.
What?
Right. There's our substitute. Okay, maybe not. But it offers a lot of the cord cutting capabilities that many people are looking for. And we had a Windows 8 app that worked nicely on tablets to allow Roku users to control playback and, to some extent, control or maybe toss content to the Roku device. Well, Roku has now released a new app designed to work on tablets and desktops. It is a Windows Universal platform. Am I getting that right? I always mess that up. It is a Windows Universal app. It does not currently work on Windows Phone, but essentially gives you a nice desktop and tablet mechanism for content discovery and for control of your device. So one more entertainment provider, one more entertainment ecosystem that's embracing the Windows ecosystem themselves. That's a great thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, with this app being a UWP, it seems like it ought to come to Windows 10 phones soon. But I suppose it's possible that, that Roku has said, why should we put a little bit of extra effort into making this compatible with Windows Phone when Windows Phone isn't for consumers anymore? So, I mean, maybe that's a cynical approach, but Microsoft has said the focus for Windows 10 Mobile is enterprise. So Roku, not exactly enterprise, kind of hard to blame them, right?
Yeah, no, I don't have any problem with that. I'm really glad to see that they have something for the tablet. I want to make sure that as people are moving forward with Windows development, that they don't end up in this kind of mindset where they just forget about the wonderful tablet capabilities that Windows now offers.
Yeah, definitely. All right. And with that, let's move on to some gaming news this week. It's not as heavy as one might have expected, but that's probably because E3 is now a couple weeks in the past. But one big piece of follow-up information, we had talked a lot about the Xbox One S lately and its HDR and 4K capabilities with that device coming out very soon. It's almost July. I believe that box is coming out in August. But we had one really big question, and that was they kept saying HDR, but they weren't telling us which HDR format it would support. Well, we finally know. It's HDR10. And that kind of makes sense because that's the more open standard. It doesn't require paying licensing to Dolby. It doesn't require any of that Dolby stuff. So this makes total sense. There are a fair number of TVs out there that support it already, like the Samsung TVs, which are probably some of the more popular. I just saw a tweet yesterday, I think, saying that most of the current Vizio 4K HDR TVs are going to be getting a firmware update to support HDR10. That's the really nice thing about HDR10 because it doesn't require licensing or any other sort of extra hardware like the Dolby solutions do. They can just do this via a firmware update on any of these TVs.
Yeah. Yeah, this is great news. I'm actually really happy about this. I think this was the answer that if it wasn't going to be both, this is the answer that I was hoping to hear.
Yeah, as long as it's the answer that, like, as long as it's the format that you're seeing in most of the TVs that you're looking at. And there, I really don't see any reason why TVs wouldn't be supporting this format in addition to Dolby Vision if they do plan to support Dolby Vision. So, yeah, so this is really cool news. Unfortunately, it kind of goes downhill with our next story, and this is where the Kinect news comes in, and that is that this week Microsoft Studios announced that Xbox Fitness is getting sunsetted in their terminology. So there's a few details to go over here with this, but just as a reminder, Xbox Fitness is an app that launched with the Xbox One back in 2013. This is back when buying an Xbox One meant you also got to connect with your Xbox One. And what it was is basically imagine most of your fitness videos that you would watch and do the fitness moves with, you know, with the videos as you're watching. But because of the Kinect, it was able to grade you on how well you were doing the things that you were supposed to be doing. And the Kinect is also so crazy awesome that it can even detect your heart rate and would display your heart rate on screen while doing these also. It's probably not the most popular app by any stretch of the imagination. I don't see people using Xbox Fitness on my friends list very often. Maybe it's just because of the time of day that most people would. I know that when I use it, I'm doing it at 5:30 in the morning and,
what?
That's there's only so much time in the day, Richard. And because of the Kinect stuff, you can't do it if other people like kids are around. Because if kids start running into the room, then the Kinect is gonna get a little wonky and not know exactly what to track at times, and it's probably going to mess up your score. And you want good scores while you're doing this stuff, right? So, unfortunately, apparently the usage just isn't enough to justify the ongoing support for the app. So what they've done is now, as of you hearing this, if you're interested in Xbox Fitness, you can't buy any new content for it. There was a base library of stuff that was free. There was a set of content that was free if you're Xbox Live Gold. And then there was a bunch of extra stuff that you could pay for, like a P90X and stuff like that. You could buy those programs for Xbox Fitness if you wanted. From now on, you can't buy any new content. Any content that you've purchased yourself, you will be able to continue to use through June 30th of next year, 2017.
And here's where I get all bent out of shape.
Yeah. I mean, before we jump into that, let's toss in this other stuff real quick. One more important date, December 15th, that extra bit of content that I talked about earlier, where there's some content that's free for gold subscribers. After December 15th, all of that goes away, which seems weird. Maybe there's just licensing deals there. I don't know. And then again, July 1st, 2017, so a year from now, this won't work at all. You know, you can fire up the app, but you won't be able to use it at all. This is bonkers.
Canada Day in 2017 is going to be a very sad day. Now, this is infuriating to me. I understand that there may be some ongoing service support costs associated with the stuff that's out there. But this gets into something that is a bigger and bigger issue for me. And it's actually a piece that I'm working on for my company right now. And something that I'm thinking of proposing as a panel at South by Southwest next year, which is the whole idea that if you are creating product that requires a service to be viable, you need to be thinking about the life cycle of that service beyond potentially your own willingness to support it or even your own entity's life cycle. Like, think about Revolve. Think about the types of things that people have purchased in the IoT world. Think about games like this. Think about any device that requires some sort of online service. If your expectation is that when we go away or when we can no longer fund this there anymore, we're just going to say, all right, you know, all you people that bought this, you're screwed. But, you know, it's okay. Thanks for your business. We can't keep building service-oriented products this way. This doesn't make sense for consumers.
No, it really doesn't. And like, as you're kind of alluding to, this is a much bigger topic, much bigger than just, you know, how this impacts Xbox Fitness. But with Xbox Fitness, this seems like it could be handled a lot more gracefully than just saying, well, sorry, it's all gone, because they've already given users the ability to download the content. You don't have to just stream it anymore. When it first came out, everything was constantly streaming, but now you can download all of this content. So, okay, maybe you make it so that nobody can buy new stuff going forward. Fine. Maybe you even get rid of some of that, you know, multiplayer, you know, I'm going to compare my score to other people's scores. Maybe that goes away too, although I can't imagine that's really that much to support that. But don't make it so that I can't even use the fitness things that I've purchased. Like, that's just nuts. It's a downloadable video and software that still works, and software that the vast majority of that software that's actually necessary for the experience is running on my Xbox, not in the cloud somewhere. So why does that need to stop?
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't understand. I guess if there's any kind of, I don't know, consolation prize here, there is an option to kind of just, you know, turn this offline, if you will, isn't there?
No.
Really?
No. I mean, basically what they're saying is after July 1st of next year, you won't be able to use it at all. Yeah.
Okay. So what could we do? Like, but how do you, like, it, yeah, I don't even know where to go with this.
Well, there is one potential option, and that is to tell Microsoft how you feel about this. And fortunately, a couple hundred people have already done so, and that's on the Xbox feedback site on User Voice. We're going to have a link to this in the show notes. There's a User Voice topic out there now that talks about converting Xbox Fitness into a standalone app that doesn't require them to keep their back-end services going. Just do whatever it takes to allow us to continue to use what we already have.
Oh, see, here, this is what happens when I don't click through on our headlines. I saw that, and I'm like, oh, okay, so there's a solution. No, this is people asking for the logical solution.
Exactly. So I encourage all of our listeners to go and vote for this. Even if you're not an Xbox Fitness user, go and vote for this, because
they don't know.
It'll tell Microsoft that, oh, maybe when we consider doing things like this in the future, we should stop and think, is there another logical solution that we can come to that won't require a ton of work, but will still allow people to do the things that they want to do with the content that they've already purchased?
Yeah.
So go and vote for this, please. I would really appreciate it. I do use Xbox Fitness, not nearly enough, but I do use it, and I want to continue to use it after next June. All right, let's move on. Let's move on to something good, I guess. And that's free stuff to play, assuming these don't go away. it is a new month, which means new games with gold. If you're an Xbox Live Gold subscriber, you've got some new titles coming. A couple of these were leaked a few days ago. And when I saw these leaks, I thought, there is no way that this is right. This first one is a game called Banner Saga 2. It's a strategy role-playing game that looks kind of interesting. I never played the first one, but you know, I saw the news about this game a few months ago, got kind of interested, but still haven't checked them out because I've got a bazillion other games to play. This one looks kind of interesting. Here's the crazy thing about this, Richard. Banner Saga 2, it's not out yet.
What?
It's not out on anything. You can't buy this on PlayStation yet. It's not on... that's not true. It is out on PC, but it's not out on any consoles yet. And it isn't on PlayStation until the middle of July. But starting July 1st, you're going to be able to get a brand new game for free via Games with Gold.
Hmm. So I guess, what does that mean about Microsoft's confidence in this game for this platform? Is that kind of like a, well, you know, we're not going to sell any popcorn off of this, so let's put it right to video?
Well, I hope that that's not the case, because these games have reviewed fairly well in the past. But the only other game that I think that they have done this for, where they've released it for free on its initial release as a Games with Gold title, was Pool Nation FX, which was
okay,
terrible.
Right.
and they made it the Games with Gold for like 3 straight months, and it was terrible that whole time. In fact, I recently reinstalled it because I love pool. I absolutely love playing pool. It is one of my favorite hobbies. I recently re-downloaded it on my Xbox One because I had heard they had done a lot of updates and made it better. Nope, it was still bad. I uninstalled it and removed it from the list of things that I could install because I never even want to think about that game again. I don't think that's going to be the case with Banner Saga 2. I really hope that's not going to be the case with Banner Saga 2. I will be downloading this one and hopefully playing it eventually. Again, that one's free on Xbox One for the entire month of July. Also in July, coming in the second half, July 16th through the first half of August, is a game called Tumblestone. This is a match 3 sort of Candy Crush, kind of Tetris-y sort of game. I don't really get into these types of games. Maybe you do. And either way, it's free, so why not check it out? On the 360, here's a big name title, Rainbow Six Vegas 2. This one is going to be available July 1st through the 15th, and then in the second half of the month, Tron Evolution, from the Disney movie Tron. Rainbow Six Vegas 2 got fantastic reviews when it came out and looks like a lot of fun to play. That might be one that I actually play. I mean, I'll like download most of these, but I don't normally end up playing these games, especially the 360 games. But Rainbow Six Vegas looks awesome.
I'm more excited about the Tron game. I'm a total Tron geek. Like, that was one that the original Tron games, including like the competition, head-to-head competition games they had from the original movie in arcades where you played like the cycles and the discus and stuff like that. Right. I was so into them in the day.
So you might actually play this game.
I might actually play this game.
Amazing. And as a reminder, both of those 360 games are backwards compatible. So if you only have an Xbox One, you can still get these on your Xbox One and play them on your Xbox One. So there you go. It's also a new, it's not just a new month, it's a new week also, which means new deals with gold and spotlight sale. Just a couple of highlights here. The first one, NBA 2K16. I think that's the basketball game that everyone says you should play. I believe the other one is terrible and this one's the good one. It's half off, which means it's $30. So go and check that out if you're a basketball guy. And the other one is Titanfall, is again down to $5, which is an awesome price. I would be amazed if people don't already have Titanfall because we've seen ridiculously low prices on it before. If you don't own it and you're kind of interested in what Titanfall 2 is going to be like, which comes out this fall, pay $5 and get this. It's really good. It's a lot of fun. There's going to be people playing it still, especially with it being out for $5. And
James is playing.
James is playing. I saw him playing just the other night. And the other cool thing with Titanfall is all of the DLC, like the downloadable map packs and all that stuff, it's all free. So you pay $5 and you get everything that was ever made for Titanfall. You can't really beat that.
Yeah, this is cool.
Yeah. And then on the 360, the only thing that really stood out to me is they've got a ton of DLC for all of the Mass Effect games on sale. So if you're into Mass Effect, go and download those. Unfortunately, only Mass Effect 1 is backwards compatible. So you're actually going to have to be a 360 owner if you want to take advantage of all of that. All right, Richard, that's it for our gaming stuff.
Oh, wow.
You can fully bring your head back into this conversation.
I was actually more excited about most of this than I usually am about the gaming news. So
let's move on to some mobile news. This is this has got its ups and its downs too, I suppose. I think this first story is positive news, and that's that Windows 10 Mobile, the official, the real version, not like insider previews and all that stuff, real Windows 10 Mobile, now available for the Verizon Lumia icon.
Too late. Mary Jo already left.
Right. So did my wife. And, you know, yes, it is way, way too late. I really wonder how much this matters. Like, is there anyone who has an icon that they're still using who wants Windows 10 on it and didn't just go the insider route? Like, how many people could that possibly encompass? That number has to be ridiculously low. It has to be ridiculously low. And then if you talk to some people, like if you read Paul Thurrott's article about this, he says, don't waste your time. Windows 10 is worse on the icon than Windows 8.1. And in some ways he's right. I mean, you know, they did, you know, Windows 10 Mobile doesn't have some of the features that we loved about Windows 8.1, and it may be buggier than Windows 8.1 on that phone. If you go and read Daniel Rubino's article over at Windows Central, he loves it and thinks that you should absolutely go and do this. So if you want to, go and download the Windows 10 Upgrade Advisor app on your phone and go nuts. And if you hate it, get the software recovery tool for your Windows PC and roll it back to Windows Phone 8.1 when you're done.
Where do you think the work on this was? Like, what's the delay on this? Was this Verizon dragging their feet and trying to decide if it was worth it? Was this Microsoft working through nuances of this device that just made it too hard to support? Do we have any idea? Because if this is Microsoft, you have to wonder why they even bothered at this point. And if it's Verizon, all this does, you know, I kind of feel like too late and you deserve it. You potentially lost customers, or you lost continued use of, you know, a good device because you failed to provide support for it. And it, the whole thing just frustrates me. And I don't understand. I mean, from their perspective, maybe that's, oh, well, we got someone to buy a new phone. But I don't understand why the delay on something like this.
I think it's probably, I think the blame probably falls on both parties there. I mean, Microsoft released the 950 and 950 XL last year with non-final versions of Windows 10 on the phone. So they took a long time to get to a point where they could call Windows 10 Mobile a stable product. And then I'm sure Verizon also took a really long time, as they always do, certifying massive OS updates. Initially, when you first asked the question, I was going to say, oh, this is all on Verizon. But AT&T also just released the official Windows 10 update for the Lumia 1520. The same week.
You should have waited.
I should have. Yeah. Nope. I shouldn't have. And the thing that's even more bonkers about this is that the 1520, which AT&T stopped selling over a year ago, because that phone is now 2.5 years old, is now back for sale on the AT&T website. You can go and buy one right now. And what's even more bonkers is that they're asking $585 for a Lumia 1520.
No way.
Absolutely. You can go and look right now. $585 for a 2.5-year-old Windows phone.
You know,
I can't make this up.
Maybe we're looking at this wrong. Maybe this is actually a quite strategic plan by the carriers to sabotage any remaining evidence of consumer support for the or interest in these devices.
Maybe that actually makes more logic than some of these other things.
Right.
If you're even considering this, don't. And you've got a better option. The 950 is still for sale from AT&T for $15 more. It's a 2-year newer phone. It's far better than the 1520 in terms of its processor and stuff like that. Maybe not in every aspect. And for some reason, they're not selling the 950 XL. You can only get the 950. So I guess, you know what would be insane is if a week ago they had the 950 and the 950 XL, and then they said, hey, we've got Windows 10 on this 1520. What do we need the 950 XL for anymore? Let's just put these 1520s back on the site. If people want a big phone, they can buy that one.
Yeah. Crazy.
It wouldn't surprise me. All right. So that's the freaking crazy news around Windows 10 and Windows 10 Mobile. Here's some bad news. It's not getting better here. Oh,
thanks, Josh.
Sorry. It goes from crazy to bad. There's going to be some more positive news later, though. So it's not all down from here on out. But here's some bad news. Microsoft officially announced that they're removing yet another feature from Windows Mobile, and that is Kids Corner. This is a feature that my wife and I loved on our Windows 10 phones, or on our Windows phones at all. We used it from the moment that Kids Corner became a feature back in Windows Phone 8.0, I think. Maybe 8.1, but I think 8.0. It was awesome. It was a feature that allowed you to set up a separate start screen and say, these are the only apps and photos and videos and music and things like that that can be accessed while in this mode. So you can switch it to Kids Corner mode, hand the phone to a kid, and feel reasonably confident that they're not going to screw anything up. Now, if they chuck your phone in the toilet, you're still hosed. But in terms of like sending emails to your boss or, you know, bad other things that a kid could do, they couldn't do it from Kids Corner. And now that feature, it's going away in the anniversary update. And I'm disappointed, but I guess I'm not that disappointed because I already switched to Android. But the justification, which also doesn't have a feature like this, by the way. So my wife and I are still trying to figure out how to best handle that on our new phones. But their justification, they said the usage of Kids Corner was too low to justify continued development and support of the feature. And the best quote that I saw about this was from our friend Jason Combs, known as Database Jace, on Twitter. He quoted this line and said, and I won't get this exactly right, but he said, what they really meant was that the usage of Kids Corner was too low because the usage of Windows Phone was too low. Yeah, that's perhaps more accurate. And then Microsoft's alternative is to use a feature that is still in there called App Corner, which is really more of a feature for like kind of like a kiosk sort of mode for your phone. It's really meant more for demoing apps than like, here, kids, do this. Because the kids were able to like customize the colors on the start screen and all that stuff and have lots of fun with it. And App Corner doesn't have any of those fun features.
All right. I am going to do something very unusual, and I am going to take the sunny devil's advocate view here.
Oh, boy.
I think this kind of decision fully falls within Microsoft's and, to some extent, the new leadership team's approach toward get rid of things that aren't working, focus on what we're doing well. And from that perspective, I think this kind of trimming and leaning of the product line makes sense.
I think the trimming of this from the product line does make sense, but not for the same reason. I think it makes sense because they've told us we're focusing on the enterprise.
Right. Again, not consumers.
Right.
Right.
And
but that's the same thing.
Kids in the enterprise.
Right. But that's exactly it. Right. Like, why would you maintain a feature that isn't going to be aligned with our focus for this line?
Right. No, I agree, and I understand.
Yeah.
It's just unfortunate to see all this consumery stuff fading from Windows 10. I mean, frankly, maybe we won't even be talking much about Windows 10 Mobile in the future. If it's really going to be all enterprisey, there's no reason for us to even talk about it on this show.
Oh, we'll be talking about it. We'll get to that in a story or two.
I also did want to throw out one other quick update. This is in the downer news section of Windows 10 Mobile. The Amazon app is going away from Windows Phone.
Didn't we know this was happening?
I don't know. I couldn't remember if we had mentioned this. I mean, we've talked about so many other apps going away that I couldn't remember if this was one of them.
We've shared so much other disappointment.
And I saw a tweet from Paul Thurrott about this, and it was something like, the Amazon app is being killed off in a couple of weeks. Or for anyone who's actually used it, you know that it was really killed off 2 years ago.
Yeah, I think that this has not been a useful app for a long time, in my opinion.
I don't know. I actually did use it a lot on my phone. I think the bigger problem is the Kindle app on Windows Phone is abysmal and hasn't been updated in years. And I wonder how much longer that's going to be available for Windows 10 Mobile.
Well, there's a solution to that. Just use the Nook. Oh, no, never mind.
Nope, no Nook either. And there never was. All right, let's move on. There's some good news, kind of. If you have one of these newer Windows 10 Mobile phones, and by newer, I mean the 640, the 650, the 950, or the 950 XL, you're probably going to be able to use Tap to Pay on your phone soon, assuming that you have cards with a very specific set of banks. And I don't even remember what these banks are. I think Bank of America is in there because Bank of America is always in there. And maybe Capital One and maybe some other banks that you've never heard of. Although, oddly, apparently my more regional bank that I use is one of the ones coming soon. They don't even support Android Pay yet. but they're going to be coming to Windows Phone shortly after I've left the platform, of course. It's cool to see. I don't really understand how that fits in with the enterprise focus, but I guess people in the enterprise need to buy gas and Big Macs also.
I should really pull my microphone away from my face for this, because I'll just warn people. I'm going to yell briefly, because we knew that this platform was designed to support NFC payment with the release of the 8X from HTC 4 years ago. What? Seriously, I can't wait to read the Harvard Business case study about all of the failures to properly promote and launch the capabilities of this product. It's astounding to me.
Yeah, I can't comment on it any better than you just have. It's bonkers. It is absolutely bonkers that it's taken them this long to get Tap to Pay working on a Windows phone when it was announced years ago.
Now, there's one, and in my opinion, only one really silver lining to that, is that guess what? Everybody else built out the infrastructure for you. So now it's going to just work.
Right. And it'll be pretty much everywhere because of Apple Pay and Android Pay. There you go. All right. Sticking with the mobile news, last mobile story. Last week, I think there were at least 5 preview builds of Windows 10 released in 1 week across PC and mobile. Well, this week, in fact, today, as of us recording this, just a few hours ago, they released yet another insider preview build for both PC and mobile. It's build 14376. I've completely lost track of these numbers. There have been so many builds lately, which, frankly, we should take a moment, step aside, and say, for months and months and months, the community at large was complaining, and ourselves too, to some extent, that they kept saying, we're going to release updates really quickly, and they never did, and they never did, and they never did, and it was basically, you know, a fast ring update maybe once a month, and a slow ring update maybe every couple of months. And lately, it's been like 3 to 5 fast ring updates a week with a slow ring update every week or two. They have dramatically increased the pace that they're releasing these preview builds at. And you have to give them credit for that. I think they've maybe gone a little too far in how frequently they're releasing, but especially when they had talked about the idea of having a ludicrous ring, when they said, if you want to get new updates like every day, we might have another ring for that. They could have done that with how frequently they've been releasing these, and maybe done fast ring updates at the rate that they're doing these slow ring updates, and then a little bit slower for the real slow ring. But anyway, got to give them a little bit of credit for that. Let's move on to what this actually does. So as has been the case with most of these insider preview builds over the last month or two, it's mostly just bug fixes. There are not a lot of new features here. The anniversary update is going to be coming out soon. It's slated to come out summer. There are rumors now that it's going to be like August 2nd. It's going to be soon. So there's not going to be lots of new features here. It's mostly bug fixes. There's a lot of them. On the PC side, for the known issues list, it says there aren't any. This is good. On the mobile side, there's still some known issues that they're working through. At the very bottom of the post, there was kind of an important thing that maybe it was at the bottom because they wanted people not to notice. I'm not sure. But because I almost missed it. And that is that they are removing the messaging everywhere feature from the anniversary update. It won't be there. Like, this was the one thing that I was really excited about with Windows 10 mobile. And Windows 10 in general, and it's not going to be there anymore. They said that.
Right, but wait. So that's not the worst of it, right?
It's not the worst of it.
Is their backup plan?
Oh my gosh! Stop me if you've heard this one before. They said, we believe we can deliver an even better experience through, wait for it, the Skype app. The Skype app. Can you make up your friggin' mind as to whether we're going to use the Skype app or the messaging app and stop changing your mind every 2 months as to what's going to be the messaging app on our phones?
Ugh. Yeah, It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
I'm not even really sure what to say anymore.
Yeah. I think just imagine we're both shaking our heads literally right now as we're saying this. So, yeah.
But don't worry. If all you want to do is reply to text messages, you can still do that through Cortana.
Oh, good.
You can't send a new message, but if someone sends you one, you can reply to it through the Cortana functionality. I don't get it anymore. I really, really don't get it.
Yeah.
All right, Richard. That thankfully, that's going to do it for all of our mobile news this week.
That's the end of our crazy town news.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that was some of the most ludicrous news that we've had all in, like, I don't think that we've ever had that much insane news in one episode.
Yeah.
Bring us back to a normal state here, Richard, and tell us what's been going on in your normal entertainment center.
I'm going to start with the sad and end with the awesome. I misspoke last week.
Uh-oh.
And I misspoke because I misunderstood. I thought I was going into the Penny Dreadful season finale with the hope of a fourth season. I was wrong.
Oh, no.
It wasn't canceled. And this is where I was wrong. I had heard that the producers and writers of Penny Dreadful had received, like, come to a conclusion of the series. And because I heard of that the week before this season's finale, I assumed incorrectly that meant that, oh, okay, season four is the last and final season then. Because this didn't seem to be coming to any sort of end. And yet I have to hand it to them that as much as I'm disappointed that it's over, they did an incredibly good job of wrapping up all the loose storylines and bringing everything, not everything, but bringing the series to a good, respectful, and satisfying closure. And that's not something that every series writer gets the opportunity to do.
Yeah, that's awesome and impressive that they were able to wrap up most of that in one episode when you thought they were nowhere close to being able to do that.
Right. So it was actually a double episode. It was 2 hours where they pulled it all together. It wasn't like they did the Next Generation, everything gets resolved in the last 5 minutes kind of thing. But they, you know, they did a really good job. And apparently this was the plan all along, that this was what the series creator wanted, was to, you know, this was the final act that they wanted to tell, and then it was going to be done. So good job on them. I'm going to miss the series because I thought it was brilliant. It was dark. It was incredibly creative. And like I've said in the past, if you are at all into that whole Victorian era horror mythology, you will love, love, love this series. We're getting close to the end of Royal Pains. In fact, I think the night that we're recording this is when they have their next to last episode, which is going to be really weird because they're doing a musical thing on a show that's not a musical. And I hate when series do that, but whatever. Still catching up on Sleepy Hollow. I finished season 4 of Eureka, and the horrible, incredibly awkward, what a waste of time Christmas special that came between series 4 and 5, that, by the way, was entirely out of sequence with the storyline that ended in season 4 before season 5 starts. I am back into Nashville and going through the last season of that. That's a show where I'm continuing on my own because Edward gave up, so I'm just powering on my own, and we're gonna get to the end of that. And at one point in time, they had said that series was getting canceled because ABC isn't carrying it any further, but the country music CMT, whatever, the country channel is picking it up, and so it has a home in the future and will continue on for the country music soap opera that, for its, like, to its credit, is probably the reason that I now look at country music differently and listen to country music as something that I enjoy now. And finally, I gotta give a hand to Big Brother. It is on. It's that 3-night-a-week thing going now. and it is going to be crazy. There are some real annoying returns that I hope get knocked out so that we can get to the story of the people who are new and interesting this season. But it looks like it's going to be a fun season. So looking forward to that. So surprisingly, a lot of television activity in the last week.
So is Big Brother a really popular show? Like, does it do well in the ratings?
I don't know if it still does well in the ratings. It used to do very well. It used to rank high in the top 10 every night that it was on.
Because it seems like it would have to be doing really well for them still to be able to justify to put this on 3 nights a week. Now, I know it's the summer and they don't have as much to fill out in the summer, but 3 nights a week is an incredible amount of airtime.
It is. But think about this. It's summer. And what are their alternatives? They can either pay to create new creative series, which are expensive to produce and air, or you can hit that young demographic that you're after by something that has very low production costs.
That's true. Yep, you make a great case. You know, there is one show that you and I are both going to be watching very soon, but not yet.
What's that?
It's the one show of the summer that I get really excited about.
Oh?
Mr. Robot. Mr. Robot comes back in like a week and a half or something like that.
I know. I'm so excited. And, you know, there was some sort of, I don't know what it was. There was some sort of like preview episode or something that really? Was aired. Yeah, my media center recorded something and I have not yet watched it. I'm not quite sure what it was. It has a really weird episode number associated with it. Don't know what it was. I'll have to check it out.
I should go back and just rewatch season one. It was so good. Oh, man. Or at least like the last few episodes. Oh, so good. If you haven't watched Big Brother, wow. No, don't watch Big Brother. If you haven't watched Mr. Robot, you really, really should before season two comes out. And I believe it's on Amazon. Season one is on Amazon Prime Video now. So you have no reason not to watch it. Go and do it. Go now. As soon as this podcast is over, start watching season one of Mr. Robot, please.
At South by Southwest, they had the lead actor and the series creator and showrunner on a panel that was just packed. It was a packed session in one of the largest ballrooms that they had. And I am telling you that I think I mentioned it when after I was there. That was such an interesting discussion. The people involved in this show are so passionate about the work that they're doing, the storytelling that they're doing, being authentic about it, being respectful of the genre that they're in. And I am so excited for the season because the things that they hinted at just sound phenomenal.
Cool. Cool. I can't wait. I'm really, really excited about this. So in terms of things I've been watching and playing and all that stuff, it's a really, really short list. I watched nothing last week. Well, that's not entirely true. I did watch the Formula One race, but I put it on while I was cleaning. And so I didn't even really watch much of that. My week was supposed to be a normal week that maybe I was going to be able to start watching some stuff. And no, instead, my week exploded and everything went crazy. And I didn't watch anything. I barely played anything. But that doesn't mean that nothing happened in my entertainment center. Quite the contrary. Last week, we talked to James Montemagno about Android TV a lot. I was really interested and particularly interested in what the NVIDIA Shield is able to do and what it's going to be able to do very soon. So I got one.
Oh, dude, you are becoming such a traitor.
It seems like such a great way to be able to try out the HD home run stuff. It's also going to, you know, as we mentioned a couple weeks ago, it's going to support running a Plex server on the NVIDIA Shield itself. And Frankly, I would love to offload my Plex server to another box. I want to get rid of my home theater PC anyway. It kind of either needs to go or get upgraded because that thing is super old and creaky. And it's not like Windows Media Center is getting improved on at this point. So I needed something to try HD Home Run DVR out on. So I got one of these because they were having a special. It came with a free controller, all that stuff. So I got that. I also bought a 3 terabyte Western Digital My Passport Ultra or whatever. It's a USB 3 external hard drive that doesn't require separate power. It's really cool. Nice. Yep. So I got one of those. So for $300, theoretically, I've got a brand new Plex server and HD Home Run DVR server, even if I don't want to use the actual Android TV stuff to it. It's a whole server box for really way cheaper than it would have been for me to build a computer.
Okay, fine.
One of the things that I told myself and Jen was, if we don't like this, like, we can still use the Plex app on the Xbox. And I fully expect an HD Home Run view app to show up on the Xbox One soon also. So it's not like I'm completely abandoning things here. I haven't even gotten to actually try the HD Home Run DVR software. And even if I had, it's not done yet. It's not done. So
right.
any first impressions that I'm going to have, it's not final software. So we'll see. I'm hoping to get my hands on that very soon. And we'll be sharing our impressions with all of you. The other thing that I did is I needed to upgrade my cable modem. My speed was getting bumped up and my 10-year-old cable modem didn't apparently support it. So I needed to get a new one. And I thought, you know, I've got like extra cable cards laying around here. I've got extra tuning adapters laying around here from all of the equipment that I've tested out over the years. I'm probably paying for all of these things. And there's been some funkiness and glitches between my cable card and tuning adapter that have caused tons of missed recordings of late. I'm just going to take all of it back to my cable company and get new ones. And so that's what I did.
Cool.
And came home, called them up to get the cable cards activated. And like, this has got to be at least the 10th time that I've activated cable cards at my house. And this was the smoothest, most perfect experience that I've had activating a cable card ever. Despite the fact that when I got to talk to the tech support guy, I was like, yeah, I need to activate a cable card. He was like, oh, okay.
And like, that instills confidence.
Right. You could just tell that he was like, huh, haven't done one of these in a while. This is going to take me a second to figure out how to do this. But he did it perfectly. Everything worked right away. It was fantastic. So we don't often have great stories to share around cable cards. So I felt like I had to share this with everybody. So that was nice. Nice to see. But that's it. That's it for me.
I can't tell if that story about this being such a successful cable card implementation all these years later is a moment of triumph or just plain sad.
You know, it's been a really weird and somewhat depressing episode. Let's go with triumph.
Okay.
All right, Richard. Well, if people want to get a hold of you or me, they've got a lot of ways they can do that. We're both on Twitter quite frequently. Richard is at Richard Gunther. I'm at Josh Pollard. The website is at DigiMediaZone, D-I-G-I MediaZone. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/theDMZ. We're on Google Plus. We've got an email address. It's entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com, or just use the contact form on the website. There's also your other podcast, Richard. It's called Home On. You talk about home automation and control things. What's going on there?
I think what you really mean to ask is, where's that episode you said we were getting last week? And since my life kind of blew up a little bit too in the last week, despite my TV time, which you may question, well, but you managed to watch TV. What about the episode? It's not equal time. But anyway.
Yeah, you watched like 17 episodes of Big Brother last week.
I totally did not. Yeah, I between prepping for my travel and traveling and the weekend, which is when I usually expect to get this stuff done, it just didn't happen as I had hoped. So it will hopefully be out very shortly after you listen to this, or available when you're listening to this. It's coming. Don't worry. It's coming. And then hopefully get back on our more normal schedule.
Cool. All right. Well, you can find all of our shows on iTunes and Pocket Cast, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, Google Play. It's pretty much everywhere that you're going to find podcasts. And if you like our show, then the best way that you can show us how much you like our stuff is to head on over to iTunes and leave us a rating or a review. And it helps us out a ton, helps other people find our shows, and we really, really appreciate it if you can do that for us. And then the other really fun thing that you can do is come and listen to the show when we're recording it. You can do that. It's normally Tuesday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, but especially in the summer, everybody's schedules are crazy in the summer. Your best bet, follow us on Twitter. We always tweet about when the shows are going to be so that you can come and join in the conversation and be a part of the show as we're making it every single week. Hopefully, we'll see you next time, because that's going to do it for episode 373. I'm Josh Pollard. He's Richard Gunther, and we'll be back next time for episode 374. Until then, adios.
Goodbye.